There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And coming up, I'll be checking in with a lot going on today's show. Big day to be here. Allison Spann's going to join us. She's with TheHill.com. Of course, worked in television news here. Has a story about what we're spending in Afghanistan yearly and what we spent to the point now, 17 years into that war. We'll get that coming up at 1 o'clock today. And joined here in just a couple minutes by Congressman Bradley Byrne. We'll talk about the crisis on the border. Is it real? I would say for individual families, it would be. Now, politically, what is the story and what's the solution? We'll get that coming up with AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne in just a couple minutes. I do want to go. The president, President Trump, is speaking right now. Let's go to that a little bit. He is talking about, well, a bunch of subjects, but also talking specifically about this debate around immigration.
We have been requesting since last year the legal authority to detain and promptly remove families together as a unit. We have to be able to do this. This is the only solution to the border crisis. We have to stop child smuggling. This is the way to do it. And ultimately, we have to have a real border, not judges. Thousands and thousands of judges they want to hire. Who are these people? When we vet a single federal judge, it goes through a big process. Everybody that's ever met her or him, they come, they complain, they don't complain, they say he's brilliant, she's brilliant, he's not smart enough to be a judge. Now we're hiring thousands and thousands. What country does this? Judges. I won't say it. I refuse to say it. I hope they pick that up back there. They won't. Now what, seriously, what country does it? They said, sir, we'd like to hire about 5,000 or 6,000 more judges. 5,000 or 6,000? Now, can you imagine the graft that must take place? You're all small business owners. So I know you can't imagine a thing like that would happen. But here's a guy. They say, could you please be a judge? Come on, get it. They line up to be a judge. It's horrible. We don't want judges. We want security on the border. We don't want people coming in. We want them to come in through a legal process like everybody else that's waiting to come in to our country. And it got so crazy that all of these thousands, we now have thousands of judges, border judges, thousands and thousands. And by the way, when we release the people, they never come back to the judge anyway. They're gone. They're in your system. That's it. If they're good, that's great. And if they're bad, you'll have killings, you'll have murders, you'll have this, you'll have that, you'll have crime. You'll have crime. And remember, these countries that we give tremendous foreign aid to in many cases, they send these people up, and they're not sending their finest. Does that sound familiar? Remember I made that speech and I was badly criticized? Oh, what's so terrible what he said. Turned out I was 100% right. That's why I got elected. We want a great country. We want a country with heart. But when people come up, they have to know they can't get in. Otherwise, it's never going to stop. Whether it was President Bush, President Obama, President Clinton, same policies. They can't get them changed because both sides are always fighting. This is maybe a great chance to have it changed. But one of them says, we want to hire 5,000 more judges. I don't know.
All right. So a little bit of what the president's talking about right now. We'll get commentary from AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne when we return right here on Midday Mobile. Text line open. Got questions, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. I mentioned going into the break. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne would join us now from airports or boats or somewhere today. You are, as always, moving. Congressman Byrne, thanks for making some time for us.
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you. Yes, I'm at an airport.
It seems like that's a big part of your life as you travel back and forth from home to Washington. Let's talk about what's happening in Washington right now and the discussion surrounding the situation at the border, the children at the border, the enforcement of the law of the land as announced by Attorney General Sessions and President Trump, and now a real political backlash on this as well. Congressman, kind of lay out for how you see it right now.
Well, first of all, this is not a new problem. If you recall, back in 2014 and 2015, during the Obama administration, we had a huge problem with minors, including unaccompanied minors, coming across the border. We really didn't have this situation until about 8 or 9 years ago, because most people prior to that time coming across the border were adult males. But then we started seeing more and more children coming across. And what you've got in some cases are human traffickers who are bringing those children. In other cases, you've got adults who are not necessarily related to the children at all, who are using them, sort of cynically using them, because they hope that they'll be allowed to stay because of the children. And in some cases, you've got desperate parents that have got the children with them because they've got such a terrible situation in their hometown or village. And so we have this massive influx of people going back several years now. The Obama administration tried and failed to deal with it, had a big crisis on their hands. And now what the Trump administration has done is said, look, we're just going to have a zero tolerance policy. Well, that is what has caused us to have this sort of huge uptick in children who are actually having to be taken care of at the border by the Department of Health and Human Services. And so they're overwhelmed. There's no question they do not have the resources to handle this many children. And there's so many questions that they have to go through with the other federal authorities down there, about who the children are, who they're related to, et cetera. But it's created this humanitarian crisis. And so we need to deal with humanitarian crisis quickly, get it over with, because we've got to get back to the bigger problem, which is how are these people getting across the border to begin with? What can we do to stop them from coming across the border to begin with, to keep this problem from happening? Which puts us right back into what the president has been trying to focus on, which is we need border security. If we had real border security, we wouldn't be having this issue, or at least wouldn't be having it at the magnitude we are at the present.
That's for sure. There's so much of this surrounding it is the politics, but I do want to, and we'll get into that, but I want to stay with what is true, and we did this on the show yesterday, what is true and what is happening on the border. So a group of people, sometimes you're saying they're not true family groups, but the group would come across, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is Attorney General Sessions is enforcing the letter of the law here, where that is before that was considered either a misdemeanor or something to the fact that those people weren't arrested on their first time across. Now we are arresting them. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Before, we simply weren't enforcing the law.
Right.
That's not good. And so what Attorney General Sessions is doing is enforcing the law. Now, when the Obama administration tried to handle this, they got into a lot of PR trouble, and they just dropped enforcement. That's how they dealt with it. Instead of trying to figure out a way to do it in a rational manner, they just quit enforcing the law as to these people with children coming across the border. So what the Attorney General and Obama and the Trump administration are trying to do is to figure out the rational way to enforce the law. And they're going to need some legislative help. We're going to have to give them some legislative help. Because part of the problem here is the process that we have for determining whether or not you're somebody that's supposed to be in the country under an asylum status is too long, it's too cumbersome, and it helps gum up the time period we've got where these children are in the system with their parents or with an adult that they've got a relationship with. So we need to work with the administration to sort that out and pass some legislation. And we need to do it quickly because this is distracting us from the bigger issue, which is we need to pass legislation that truly secures the American border.
Okay, with that being said, in the short term, I see what you're saying, but in the short term, you do have to have a solution there. You talk about legislatively. Let's talk about different bills, different plans, and what has your support. Because, you know, I want to read your tweet earlier about this, and you said, I am concerned by the practice of separating children from their parents and support a legislative resolution to this problem while ensuring our nation's immigration laws are strongly enforced. All right. Legislative resolution. Which one?
Well, there's several out there. The one that's caught my eye most recently and that I and my staff are going through is a proposal from Senator Cruz from Texas that really does reform the system there to try to collapse the amount of time it takes to do this, provide the resources for the judges, et cetera, to do that, and at the same time make sure that we have humanitarian treatment of these children. But the quicker you get this process over with, quicker those children are with their parents, either on this side of the border because they've been granted asylum, or on the other side of the border because when they have not been granted asylum.
So, okay, somebody comes across, help me with this. So if somebody would come across the border illegally, we would capture this family. Let's say in this case we can prove somehow that they are family. We capture the family unit. Then what happens? I mean, if you're going to put the person in jail, right, because they've committed the crime, then we can't put the children in jail. So how do we deal with it?
We can deport the family. We can deport the parents and the children, which means we put them back on the other side of the border.
Okay, we can do that for, help me with this, we can do that for obviously somebody who's coming, a Mexican national that has come in, but what if somebody is from Guatemala or Honduras or something, has made their way through Mexico, now we have them, we put them back across the border, but not into their home country?
Well, yeah, you can do that, or you can transport them back to their country of origin. Now, here's that's actually the easy part. The complicated part is when the parent says, "I am seeking asylum." Now, once you claim asylum, there's a legal process that we have to follow to determine whether you meet the legal standards under American law to be granted asylum. That takes a long time, and that's one of the things that Senator Cruz is trying to address with his bill, which is the length of time it takes to make asylum determinations. A lot of these people are claiming asylum because they're coming from places that are very poor, have a certain level of violence, etc. And while my heart goes out to those people for having lived under those circumstances, that doesn't necessarily mean they've met the requirements under our laws for asylum. That would basically mean anybody wanting to show up in America can get
right
in and get asylum.
Right. I mean, I looked at that yesterday, and if you know, it doesn't, at least by my layman's interpretation of what I heard, that you know, hey, the conditions are bad, or I live in a bad neighborhood, or there's domestic violence, those, to me, don't meet the standard.
They don't. But you still have to go through the process of making that determination. That takes a lot of time presently. And I think what Senator Cruz is trying to do is to legislatively put in a new process and then put the money behind it, because it's going to take more personnel, so that we process these asylum claims much quicker than we're presently doing.
Okay. So if this asylum thing, to me, I heard, I guess it was yesterday, so when DHS Secretary Terry Nielsen was talking about this, she said if you have an asylum claim, you come to a port of entry, right, and claim that. It seems like it's this idea that I'm going to try to get across the border, in some places, get across the border illegally, I get caught, then I claim asylum. I mean, that seems to be contrary. If you truly were seeking asylum, wouldn't you go to the official place and say, I need asylum?
Well, that's what the law contemplates them doing. Most of these people, however, are totally unfamiliar with American law. many of them are being transported by these coyotes. And there's a lot of money being made doing this with these coyotes. Coyotes are human people that help these folks get across the border illegally. And so they wind up in our system, and they don't have a clue how they got where they are, what the process is, et cetera. But there they are. I mean, they're human beings, and they've got children with them. So what? First of all, we've got to figure out what the law would require us to do, but secondly, we've got to make sure we implement it in the most humane way possible because of the children. So that's what Obama and his administration struggled with, failed, and then gave up an enforcement on. And what the Trump administration is trying to do while they're enforcing it. So they need some legislative help. I hear them. Obviously, Senator Cruz hears them. We ought to be able to come together as Congress quickly and get them the sort of statutory framework they need to get this done right so that we're enforcing the laws in the way that I think everybody can agree is humane.
You say quickly. Quickly is a different term for Washington sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But when you consider that, when would you picture votes being taken on something?
Well, as you probably know, we have two bills that were introduced in the House last week. The president is coming to meet with the House Republican Conference this evening, 5:30 Eastern Time, to talk to us about those two bills. There's a provision in one of the bills that deals with this, or we could add a third bill that's a standalone bill that only deals with this particular issue. When we want to, if Congress wants to, we can move with the dispatch. But everybody's got to want to. Now, here's what I'm worried about, particularly in the Senate. If the Democrats want to demagogue this issue, then they just kind of, you know, drag everything out and blame Republicans, blame Jeff Sessions, blame President Trump, instead of actually sitting down with us, coming up with a common-sense solution, getting it enacted quickly, get it to the president's desk, and then we've got this thing taken care of.
Well, okay. I mean, I see this as the motivations there. I mean, the whether the audio, the video, the still pictures, that has motivated what will be a vote on this. I mean, that's I guess the good outcome of, and I'm not going to say it's, I don't believe it's propaganda because it's real what's happening down on the border, but it does seem to force y'all in the legislature to take a vote. Where, I mean, this has been, you know, this has been a thing in the past and nothing's been done. Now something is going to be done.
Right. We actually took a vote on a bill in 2014. I remember it well because there was a different version of that bill the day before we passed the one we passed, that they were trying to put a lot of pressure on some of us that were opposed to the initial bill because we thought it was too lenient. We did pass a bill the next day that got huge vote out of the Republicans in the House and not a single Democrat. And when it got to the Senate, it just died. But it dealt with border crossings, and it dealt with it in the midst of a crisis we had in the summer of 2014 with unaccompanied children. So we've actually done this before. We actually know how to do this. The question is, can we get enough cooperation with the Democrats to make it go quickly enough to actually get a timely fix for these children? And I don't know if we can do that or not, but I'm glad the president's coming to talk to us tonight. I hope that it motivates all of us to have our vote. But I think we need to get the Democrats in on this with us.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I'm sure, you know, after you have your meeting tonight, maybe part of the narrative going on this week, y'all will say that, you know, even more publicly and get everybody on the record. Where do they stand on this? I mean, do they want this to continue to go on? Is it a, you know, perfect is the enemy of good kind of situation with Democrats? Or will they work with y'all to get something with at least some bipartisan votes on it?
Well, a lot of the Democrats I'm listening to are saying all the right things, okay? They want to fix this problem, all right? Let's fix this problem. You watch when we get in there, they'll want to start fixing some other problems, too. And that's when we gun things up. We start trying to fix a problem other than the one that's directly in front of us. So if they want to fix this problem with these children, there's a way for both sides to get together, pass this pretty quickly, and then we fix that problem so we can move on to the more pressing problem, in my judgment, the bigger problem of trying to make sure that we secure our borders. That has to be the foremost thing that we're working on, and we need to get this out of the way so we'll refocus on that.
There we go. Congressman Burton, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for checking in with us right here on Midday Mobile.
Happy to do it.
All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. We'll hear from you. You heard the congressman. What do you think? 343-0106, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We will be in recess until the Capitol Police restore order.
All right, that was a little bit earlier today during the House Judiciary hearing on that internal report into the FBI's Clinton email investigation that people came in and were protesting here. I don't know how many people didn't list how many people came in for the protest. But, of course, the discussion about what we just talked with Congressman Bradley Byrne about. Love to hear from you as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, coming up at 1 o'clock, don't want to miss this. I know you might be going back into work or something. You can listen. You can stream us live. You can get the podcast later. Allison Spann's going to join us. She worked for here locally with WKRG. She's now with The Hill and has a series of stories about what we are still spending year in and year out in Afghanistan. And you've heard about, like, the natural gas station and all these the hotel and all these projects that our taxpayers have gone, tax dollars have gone into. And what's up with that? How much? She's going to lay it out. And it's going to read through some of the notes on this thing already. Y'all are going to. You may already know we're spending a lot of money, but wait till you hear how much. That's coming up at 1 today. All right, go to the phones, and let's go to Earl in Saraland first. Hey, Earl.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Oh, I just want to respond a little bit to Mr. Byrne. And the way that Republicans are so hard on the Democrats, kind of like an oxymoron that they are in this position now. When President Obama was in office, Mitch McConnell and so many others just stood in the door to block every measure he tried to pass. But yet, they're supposed to be in the Bible Belt now to try to have a moral compass about them. But they're following blindly a man that has no moral compass nor values. And I'm kind of amiss how that they can openly continue to support this when he's doing such a damage to the culture, the relationships of the country, the nation, and so many things that are not good for America and our national anthem stands for the land of the free and the home of the brave. But you say something against our president, he's not president in office only, but you're not free to speak your piece against anything in opposition. And how can Mr. Burns try to frame his mind to say that the Democrats need to comply with the Republican when they're led by a man that has no degree of morality about him or anything, and it's been proven.
Okay, and Earl, I'm not gonna take the easy track would be for me to run down the list of Democrats that have no moral compass, but that doesn't get us anywhere. So what I want to ask you is enforcing this law that's on the books immoral? Is this an unchristian, immoral thing to do?
Yes, in my opinion.
Turn your radio down. Yep.
We're supposed to help the less fortunate. The poor you have with you always.
Okay.
That's one of the greatest things of the Christian faith is
sure.
To humbly help those that are in need.
Okay, so my
and
question is, okay,
primary,
Earl, let me ask a question now. Earl, let me ask my question now. My question would be, with that being said, then should there not have been a moral protest to this law that's been on the books for a long time? You know, that we have a law in the books that they were choosing to not enforce to the letter of the law. If you have a moral objection, don't you have a moral objection with the law itself?
You have a moral obligation to a degree where the law does not conflict with the overall eternal morals that will eventually all of us give accountability for.
Right.
And therefore, I know that we are governed by laws of the land, but there should also be a balance within the constituents up there in the leadership role that have a moral balance, that has a temperance to be able to compromise for the good of the people. And the good of the people is not the primary concern here. And God, I don't want to get on a religious tire here.
But that's what you're on, right? I mean, that's the basis of this.
No, that's not what I'm on. I'm talking about Mr. Burns and how that he's...
It's Burns, by the way, too, yeah.
The Democrats, as well as Mr. Trump, accusing the Democrats for the primary cause. If they would line up with him as the leadership of the Republicans are lining up with him in spite of their belief, they're lining up with a falsehood. And I can't understand that. These are highly educated and highly qualified, highly principled men that are subjected to leadership that they bow down to and have no refrain or no withal to stand for what is right.
And Earl, I appreciate it. I got to grab some other calls. I do like that they're all highly principled, but yeah, I mean, that is the question. You know, there's the moral question. I think we had the story this morning where a group of people from the Methodist Church, National Church, have sent letters here for to the home church of Jeff Sessions. Is this an immoral? And if it is, isn't it fair of me to ask, then isn't you're saying the law itself, not the actors in it? Or is it the action? Should we have had that law on the books? If you want to take that, take the moral, which is one of the arguments being made, one we'll discuss here. Let's stay in Sarah Land. Bob is joining us next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I have been here in Alabama for 6 years. I got here about the time y'all guys started your talk format, and lived in Arizona for 30 years. I had the privilege of working with President Reagan's amnesty, which is the whole different story than what this is. People had to actually document they'd been employed and, you know, been a productive citizen before they were just granted this walk-in. And there were a lot of things that were supposed to be enacted that were never funded to eliminate all this nonsense we now have.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah, that's the point. And if they go ahead and just haphazardly change one or two things and make it look nice for everybody and take issue away from it, we're going to end up with the same mess. They need to fix the whole thing or leave it alone.
Okay,
let it be the mess, let everybody feel bad, and then maybe eventually somebody will fix it.
Okay, so here comes my cynicism, Bob. You've heard this before. Do you think there's a chance for wholesale legislative change to the immigration laws of this country?
Oh, they've got to make some serious changes. I mean, I watched it. I don't know if you even remember. They actually had a catapult shooting bales of marijuana over the border. You know, just building a wall isn't going to solve it. We're going to have to make some laws. Make some serious penalties. You know, it can't be this, oh, shame on you, you've been deported 5 times, so here's number 6.
They're
going to have to make a complete change. You know, either we're going to have borders or not. You know, in which case, let's just have the United States of Mexico, Canada, and the other 50.
But you got to admit, I mean, they're in a pretty untenable situation here with you know, splitting families apart. I think wherever you are politically on this, nobody likes those images. Those make people think, you know what, we got to try something else. I mean, look at the fact that you have some bipartisan, well, maybe not. You have Republicans looking at changing this.
If I break the law and they send me to jail, they separate me from my family.
I agree. Listen, logically, no, listen, Bob, you and I, logically, you're in the right. You're completely 100% in the right. But politics is not a game of logic and reason. It's one of emotion, and that is what is played, and that's what's playing right now. That's what has people say, even though, you know, at the end of today's show, I had a handful of emails and texts that told me I hated the children on the border, and then the other half said I hated President Trump. So, listen, which means I'm doing my job.
There is no winning, but, you know, just to address this and say, okay, we won't do this anymore. Well, okay, so now are we going to jail the children?
Right.
Are we not going to jail the parents who broke the law? are we going to ignore everything and just bury our head in the sand and have another 20 million show up?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get in this discussion and say, all right, let's reverse engineer this. What do we want to accomplish, okay? And get agreement if we could get some kind of, I don't know, you know the way they do a parliamentary vote, like of confidence or no confidence. We get one, is there confidence in the fact that we want regulated borders? And if, you know, get everybody on the record for that and then reverse engineer, how do we do that?
Right, right. And there's got to be a way. I mean, unless your name is Running Bear, your people came from somewhere else, and right. If you believe them, even Running Bear came from somewhere else. So, you know, there's got to be a way to let productive people in that we need, to let people in who are truly in dire straits, not just in poverty. If we did that, we'd have to let the whole world in.
Most likely. You're right. All right, Bob, I appreciate the call.
The answer is going to be we're going to have to make a lot of changes, a lot of hard changes.
And that is something they don't like in Washington. I will say this once again, I double down on this, I said this morning, love him or hate him for people for President Trump, he is forcing the legislature to do something on several issues now that they have been skating by for years on.
And that's it. And it's going to have to be, they have to keep playing the hardball. If they just make the softball changes, oh yeah, it's terrible, let's not separate these families anymore. Okay. But we still haven't addressed any of the issue. We've just made everybody feel good.
There it is, Bob. Thanks for the call. We're running right back to the phones at 343-0106. Y'all hop on, and it'll come to you. 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. Glad you're along. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. having some fun. Philip, you check it out on the Twitter feed, because I know you went up to the vending machine. I took a picture of our vending machine earlier today, because I was going to get the much-coveted packet of peanuts for my lunch. There's a thing of a highly overpriced peanuts, but it was, well, I packed a breakfast, I didn't pack a lunch, so I wanted to get the peanuts. Everything in the peanut world, that's all gone, and we were left with, I don't know, maybe 10 items in the vending machine. I said it looked a lot like, remember, if you're a child of the 1980s like I am, you're in your 40s or 50s, you remember the news of the food shortages in Russia and those pictures of the shelves there in the 1980s in the Russian markets there in Moscow and elsewhere. It looked a lot like that. I put that up and I'm enjoying the interaction there. We'll go to the phones now, and let's go to Louise in Mobile. Hey, Louise.
Hey, I'm going to try to make it as short as I possibly can. I came to the United States in 1957, obtained a green card. I had to report to the government every year. There were forms at the post office to be obtained to let them know where I am, where I'm working, what my phone number and address were. And that, I don't know when that ended, but that was for years and years and years they kept track of me. Then 20 years later, I had to go back to Germany on an extended visit because of the health of my dad. And I bought a re-entry permit, which allowed me to re-enter without problems 2 years later. I wasn't able to do that. I went to the American Embassy in Munich to get an extension, which I was supposed to get one time. They said, well, you have to go back to New York and get the extension there. Well, of course, the day of expiration, I wasn't able to do that, so it expired. So 2 years later, I was ready to come back to the States, and here is what I had to get to come back. I had to go to Frankfurt to the American Embassy. I had to have a letter of confirmation of somebody who will employ me back in the States, and that was in Mobile. I worked then for a car dealership. I had to have proof from my future boss that I'm going to have enough money to support myself and my underage daughter. That was in the letter. I had to have a letter from my adult daughter that there's no conflict between her and myself to come back to the States. I guess they're family feuds. I had to get, and 20 years I was married to, or part of the 20 years I was married to a wayward husband. So we traveled a lot.
And we're having a little trouble hearing you on your phone. If you could square up on it a little better, it will help us.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
I had to have an affidavit, legal affidavit, from every country I lived in the United States during the previous 20 years, that I had no criminal record, which was lucky for me. I knew an attorney in Florida that was able to get an FBI coverage for me from the whole United States. And that's how I came back here.
Wow.
With proof of income, everything, and then... And then a few years later, I decided to get the citizenship, and I had to a long form, legal form with American history thing on it, everything in English. There was no translator for me. I had to drive to Atlanta and go up to the embassy there, the immigration office, and answer all those questions in English about American history, and I had to pay my $100 for whatever. Anyway, just in a nutshell.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. That's the challenge you had heading. I mean, that was for citizenship, correct? Correct.
That last thing was for citizenship.
Yeah. So, and the folks still do that today.
Stuff was for just reentry.
Yes, so there's two parts of it. I think with the challenges you're talking about for citizenship, those are generally the same, probably somewhere a little closer to go do things these days, but those are still there. But what you're talking about is for that reentry. And the deal is, I think we still have a lot to talk about for legal immigration and how we give certain percentages to different countries and those things. I think that needs to be tweaked and worked on. I'm a huge proponent of looking through legal immigration, but the problem is the whole other discussion, when anybody hears immigration, they don't think legal, right? We think what's going on at the border, and that's illegal immigration.
Well, I tell you what, back in Germany, if somebody came across the border from Austria to Germany, they were confiscated.
Those were before the days of Angela Merkel, right? Those days are long gone.
Way before.
Now, you said, and just a side note here, but you said you were first in Munich. Is that where you're from?
A little bit south of Munich, Bavarian Alps.
Yeah. We may run the Ancestry 23. We may have the same bunch of family members. What a beautiful place, Louise. Munich, and I've spent more than one forgettable night at the Hofbrau House, so I'm glad there weren't cameras there at that point.
But I like Mobile. I like it here. I like the proximity of the beach. That's replaces my mountains, so I'm happy here.
Very good. And great call. Thank you. We'll grab a couple more and some text here as well. And let me run through quickly, because I talked about it with Congressman Byrne, but let me talk about the Ted Cruz proposal here, what he's talking about happening. All right. Cruz's proposal, according to a release from his office, would require immigrant families detained along the border to remain together, quote, absent aggravated criminal conduct or threat of harm to the children, end quote. That makes sense. You have a bad guy, bad gal with the family, you split them up. It would also require that asylum cases are adjudicated within 14 days. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. How many judges, how many courts we have to do that? I don't know. I can't wait to hear the numbers rolled out on that. But yeah, you would adjudicate those cases within 14 days, approve new temporary shelters for immigrant families, and increase the number of immigration judges. Yeah, that's an understatement, huh? How many? Quote from Senator Cruz said, all Americans are rightly horrified by the images we are seeing on the news. Children in tears pulled away from their mothers and fathers. We must stop now. We can end this crisis by passing legislation I am introducing this week. Now, Cruz's, end quote, Cruz's legislation comes as the backlash here to what's going on the border. And once again, this is, they go on in the story. The story is today's story, I think, says AG Sessions announced zero tolerance policy earlier this year for immigrants illegally crossing the southern border. Once again, the wherever you are politically on this, I think the silver lining is when President Trump does these things, he forces there to be legal clarity, even though he is not a rule of law guy. President Trump is not, it's not his thing. When he does these things that are populist in nature, you get pushback from one or more sides. Then you get into a situation and say, well, what's the law of the land? Oh, well, the law of the land is this, but we haven't been enforcing it. Well, he's going to force, whether a Cruz amendment or somebody else here, to bring something up and put clarity to it. What is the law? And we will enforce that law. If you don't like that, then you change the law. Remember, this is something that was like Congressman Byrne pointed out. Remember the discussion during the Obama years? The unaccompanied minors. This is not new. And what they were doing then. Remember the stories about the unaccompanied minors? And all the, for lack of a better term here, the goings-on with the teenage boys and girls and all that. Remember all that? What was going on then? So how did they get out of it then? They chose not to enforce the law to the letter of the law. In this case, they're choosing to enforce the law to the letter of the law. I got an idea. We settle on a law that we can agree on as a republic, and we enforce that law. Call me strange. I know you just did. That's fine. Hey, coming back after the break, Allison Spann from TheHill.com joins us. She was with WKRG for some time here in Mobile. She's working up on Capitol Hill and has a story, and I'm going to put this out on the Facebook page in just a second, a series of stories about U.S. spending in Afghanistan 17 years later. This is unreal.